This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. As Marquette University students return to classes for the fall semester, one department is still missing one of its most high-profile professors. John McAdams, who's taught in the political science department since 1977, was suspended last academic year, and the university is reportedly seeking to revoke his tenure.
It took the action in the wake of a blog post McAdams wrote about a run-in one of his advisees had with a graduate student who was teaching a philosophy class. The post to McAdams' politically conservative blog was what triggered a series of events that writer R.T. Both describes in the current issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Both is with us in the studio to talk about the feature. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What made this a compelling subject for you to write about?
As I was teaching at Marquette, I would occasionally come across Marquette Tribune stories about Professor McAdams and sort of his doings. And the first one I came across was about a program called FemSex that the Gender and Sexuality Resource Center was presenting, and students were participating in it. It was a workshop. And it seemed to me that Professor McAdams' blog was instrumental in getting that program disappeared from campus. It was moved off campus. As far as I know, it continued, but it was no longer allowed to be on Marquette property. And I thought that was really interesting how influential he was, and yet nobody seemed to be giving him the credit for what had happened. And it just seemed to me that his blog had really kind of motivated the response. You know, I sort of took note of that. And then quite a while later, I was in my office and I overheard two people talking. And I heard someone say, well, they're going to get rid of McAdams this time. They're really going to try to get rid of him now. And that just perked up my ears. And I said, well, what's going on? And that was really the first I heard about this controversy with the teaching assistant, Cheryl Abate.
Before we get too much further, for people who may have missed this mess, I mean, it is some months in the past at this point. Remind us what happened that caused so much uproar over this interaction between what Professor McAdams wrote and what eventually transpired involving Cheryl Abate.
It's complicated. The first thing that happened was a student, whom I call Student Zero in my article, was taking a class from Abate about theory of ethics, a 200-level sophomore class, admittedly an avowedly conservative student. Cheryl Abate is not conservative politically, you would say. The two were not getting along very well. The student was getting an F. One day, as part of this theory of ethics course that she was teaching a philosopher called John Rawls, who has an idea called the liberty principle or the equal liberty principle that says that liberties are extended to groups, minority groups who were formerly, you know, not full participants in society, you know, when they, you know, raise the issue and say, we want the same rights as everyone else, as the more privileged classes. Now, that's a pretty academic sort of topic, but one of the things that was mentioned was gay marriage. And, you know, Abate put that on the board and other things were also mentioned. And it seems to me, just talking about it and, you know, again with you, that pretty clearly gay people are saying we want to get married like everyone else. I mean, that really sort of fits the mold of what she was teaching about. But the student felt that he was not able to disagree. Now, he didn't want to disagree with whether or not it belonged under Rawls's liberty principle. He just wanted to talk about how he wasn't for gay marriage. And Abate didn't give him the space to do that in the class, which as an instructor, she's not really required to
do. She's not required to. You cite some free speech experts who point out that this is not a public school, and so free speech doesn't necessarily apply to what goes on in a classroom.
Right, and she was teaching something, and it wasn't necessarily up for debate. I mean, they weren't necessarily going to debate this topic. They were just going to talk about whether it fit in with this other, you know, notion that she was teaching. So, after class, the student taped her, and just to not go on too long about this part of it, but he taped her secretly. And then when she found out about it, he said, I'm going to report you to your superiors. And he did, and they didn't really care. And then he decided he couldn't stay in the class anymore. And that is kind of an interesting, you know, why he decided he couldn't stay in the class is kind of interesting too.
And he is his advisor in this case. Is
John McAdams, Professor McAdams was his advisor. And he went to his advisor and said, will you sign my drop form? And the way Student Zero tells it is McAdams said, sure, I can just sign your form or I can ask you what happened. if you feel comfortable telling me about it. And so as Student Zero put it, you know, it was kind of like the rest is history.
And the rest winds up being that Professor McAdams writes about this mm-hmm. on his blog, The Marquette Warrior.
Right.
And then not much necessarily happens immediately.
Not immediately, no. I think Cheryl Abate saw the blog. She was asked to comment. She did not respond to an email that Dr. McAdams sent her. The time frame was a little tight. She may never have seen it. But she objected to how she was characterized in the blog and that he blogged about her at all. But what really happened is that things sort of started to roll out. First, Student Zero was asked by the Marquette Tribune, by reporters, I think Natalie Wickman and Rob Gabelhoff, if they wanted. They wanted to interview him. He initially denied that, you know, he was the person that McAdams interviewed. McAdams never used his name. And then he went on Fox News himself. And he seems to feel like the Fox story was the one that started the whole thing rolling. But I found some stories on the College Fix, which is a website, a conservative website that's very critical of, you know, higher education and its sort of liberal bent today, and also the IOTW report. And to me, that's where things really got rolling because a commentator named Tom put Cheryl Abate's Marquette email address in his comment in which he said, I wouldn't let this person and he used foul language teach my dog. And then he said, and you should all tell her how you feel about it, too. And he gave her email address. And so I really feel like that was a smoking gun. Unfortunately, we couldn't put that in the story because when the fact checker and I went back and looked for it, the page had been taken down, interestingly enough. So we couldn't say that it existed because it no longer did. But there were definitely other things. The College Fix story was still there and the actual story was still there.
And this seems like kind of par for the course with what Professor McAdams writes. Not that his blog doesn't have a pretty healthy following because obviously it does, mm-hmm. But it's really what happens after he writes on his blog that tends to have such an outsized impact.
Absolutely. And Professor McAdams makes sure that it does because he emails his blog to Charlie Sykes and he emails it to the Journal Sentinel and to other interested parties just to make sure that they know what's up. And he's actually appeared on Fox News in one of those split screen things, you know, and been interviewed there. So he gets around.
Well, and, you know, in some ways I was concerned about doing this interview without Professor McAdams being here to defend himself. But frankly, he defends himself pretty effectively. And really what you've written about is not just the professor himself, but kind of this sphere of influence he has. Mm-hmm. How do people at Marquette view Professor McAdams' suspension, which eventually comes along after all of this reaction to the incident with Cheryl Abate?
Well, it's very controversial. Cheryl Abate was pretty thoroughly harassed by internet trolls who got into her Marquette email account and sent her emails. At one point, Dean Holtz's letter talks about they actually had a public safety officer outside her classroom door because she received death threats. So it was pretty vicious. But nevertheless, the fact that Dr. McAdams is under suspension and that Marquette is looking to revoke his tenure is very controversial, and not just with conservative students. Some people do feel that this is a free speech issue and that despite, you know, anything that might have happened, the university should allow and should give him the room to say what he wants. Now, I think there are a couple of things that it's important to note, though, in that his blog is not scholarship. It's not within the purview of what academics do. It's extracurricular. It's like a hobby. So it's not really part of his job. And the other thing is that a great number of people, department chairs in Klinger School of Arts and Letters, are very opposed to what happened and feel that he has created a climate of intimidation because his tone is not scholarly. It's not professorial. It's kind of a Fox News kind of, you know, derogatory, attacking sort of tone in a lot of these blog posts. In other words, he's not saying, well, this is a problem. He's kind of really going after people. And they feel like that creates a climate of intimidation. A number of the department chairs said they thought this created a climate of intimidation and made people sort of afraid to speak out, though I don't know that there's really any evidence for that per se.
Well, and at the same time, it's not impossible to imagine the tables being turned and somebody writing about Professor McAdams on their own side blog and the same result coming to bear that way?
Not really. I mean, quite a number of people have done that, but they've all done it. Like the Daily News is a website for professional philosophers, has been very critical, and you know, lots of other scholars and professors have been critical.
He's not getting the same death threats, though.
No, it's just not the same tone at all. It's more like, you know, a debate or more within the whole purview of the way academic discourse is conducted.
The way you write about it, I gather if Professor McAdams has any regrets about this, and again, he is not here to defend himself, he does have some regrets about how Cheryl Abate was treated in the wake of all of this.
I think he was really surprised by that. I think it's sort of not the usual. I mean, that's why I strongly suspect that the College Fix and the IOTW readers are not his usual readers, even though his readers are hardcore conservatives. They're not the sort of people that are going to spew four-letter words and send death threats. You know, they're more rank-and-file regular conservatives, and they're much more likely to go out and do something about it than they are to send nasty emails. And when I asked him that question, how he felt about that, he did seem genuinely regretful. And he is hard-hitting and kind of a curmudgeon, but he's also a gentlemanly person, and I think that he found some of that response rather appalling himself.
How comfortable was he talking about this whole period in his life?
Very comfortable. Very unabashed. I don't feel that he personally thinks he has anything to apologize for.
To some degree, you kind of contrast how this whole event went down, if you will, versus the fallout from his writing about a controversial mural that was on campus, which elicited a very strong response, but not necessarily the kinds of death threats and the same kind of response that the Abate incident did.
Well, that person, Susanna Bartlow, was simply fired or let go or whatever you say in academic terms. She doesn't work there anymore.
And the university seemed much more comfortable. Obviously, they acted very quickly and decisively in that case.
Well, the university was sorry to lose Cheryl Abate. They did not want her to go. She left voluntarily. She no longer felt safe or comfortable. And it's very unusual for a graduate student to decamp to another university in the middle of their PhD program. Just I've never heard of it happening before. Susanna Bartlow was, I think, you know, rather popular with the student population that she served. But she is a pretty radical, I would say, person. I mean, I think I don't think she'd be uncomfortable with being, you know, classified as someone who's really on the left side of various questions. And, you know, the outrage at the fact that, you know, this person who was commemorated in a mural at the Gender and Sexuality Resource Center was actually a criminal who had escaped from prison and shot a New Jersey state trooper.
Hard for a university to
– Yes, hard for them to justify that. Very, very true.
Well, you do mention one thing that really struck me, and that is at the heart of all of this, universities, Marquette among them, have a reputation today as being somewhat left-leaning kinds of places. But at the same time, one of the major – or some of the major thrusts of – Marquette these days are educating people in business and educating people in the health sciences, and often they might be coming from conservative points of view when they get here.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think that many times students understand that Marquette is fairly typical of universities, you know, across the nation, and that it doesn't necessarily in the classroom present conservative viewpoints. And I think quite a few of the students are, you know, have more of a conservative kind of lean to them.
It is an interesting and kind of a tangled web of issues.
Yes, it is.
But R.T. Both, thank you so much for helping us unravel it a little bit.
Thank you.
R.T. Both's piece on suspended Marquette University political science professor John McAdams is in the September issue of Milwaukee Magazine. There's a link from WUWM.com. Both is also an adjunct faculty member in the English department at Marquette.